Yeah, that's why they call it Skip Happens.
Yes,
Yeah.
honestly, I'm excited that we're talking tonight because Skip happened to me a few weeks ago when I
Yeah,
was supposed to do this the first time.
but you being
So.
an artist, it's Rebecca Morland, everybody, as she said, she's in Nashville. But you being an artist, I mean, you're on the go all the time. I don't know how you keep your schedule straight. I totally understand. I totally get it.
I honestly don't know how I do it either. And I've been very tired the last few days. And actually, like, it feels good to be home in Nashville, sleeping in my own bed. I
Oh,
was
I
on the road
bet.
for a little over than a month. I love to travel and I love to meet new people. It's so fun for me, but like, I really like to sleep in my own bed.
What,
So,
you're on what they call the radio tour.
yes, radio tour. So I've gone Connecticut, New York, West Virginia, Virginia, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Tennessee, like pretty much
That's crazy.
everywhere. Yeah,
That's
it's
crazy.
really fun. And I'm getting to meet like the coolest people. I think my favorite part of it is getting to meet these stations that are, historical stations. Like some of these stations were like founded in 1947. They've seen wars, they've seen struggles, they've seen cultural movements. And it's incredible. It's humbling to get to be part of it, honestly.
You know,
So.
I got to tell you, when you're talking about those stations, I work in a building that hasn't changed in probably since 1940. No, I'm serious. This is a serious thing. And you look at the building and you go, oh my God. But you know what? The history in that building, when you go into our conference room and the windows are slanted because that's where they used to have bands years ago. I'm sitting at a conference
Wow.
table. Get this, Rebecca. I sit at a conference table to eat my lunch every day. That's the same table that Dick Clark used because Dick Clark
Whoa.
started in the building at the Wolf, WOLF in Syracuse.
That's
So,
insane.
yeah. So
Wow.
it's pretty cool. A lot of famous people have come through the building where I am now, all because just back in the day, even with Syracuse University and the Newhouse School of Communications, you know, the best in the country as far as I'm concerned. So a lot of these people that, you know, back in the day, they actually walked through our doors and they actually worked in some of those studios. Now, granted, the equipment's changed a little bit, but still, it's all that's it. So I know what you're saying when you see these buildings.
It's so much history. I mean, I got a chance to, a lot of these rooms that, like you're saying, they haven't changed much in several decades. And I've gotten to play in some rooms that, Johnny Cash played in.
How
And it's
cool.
like Trisha Yearwood played in. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, I'm a kid.
Yeah.
A kid in a candy store. I think the hardest part of the tour is the driving. Like the driving is insane. It's like, 6, 7 hours a day sometimes. And so I think I've put about 10,000 miles on my car.
I was going to say, because you as an independent artist, you are doing a lot of this on your own. You're getting
Doing
out
all of
there,
it.
all of it,
Yeah.
all of it.
I do. I have a few very mighty warriors on my team. I have a couple awesome managers, Tia and Leslie, and then I have some radio promo people that are helping putting everything
Yes.
together that you know, and
Yes.
they're amazing.
They
So
are.
I'm not completely on the road. I'm alone, but I do have people in my corner really cheering me on. So that's awesome.
Awesome. You know, I give people like you a lot of credit. I know what it's like. We have them come through all the time. I know this is kind of radio language here, but we are a media-based station now, but we were a music row station. And that's the stations you're visiting are more or less the secondary markets, which is a stepping stone to the major, to the regular markets. Well, they're all regular, but
The media
it's a
base,
step.
actually.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. And you're working your way to get there. You're chasing your dream, your passion. You're dedicated to what you're doing. For example, you play out almost every night. So.
Yeah, it's not easy. And here's the thing. I really do it not to sound like cheesy or cliche for any sort of reason, but I really do it to make people's lives better. Like for me, if I leave people better than when I found them, that's like a win for me. And I think music connects with people in a way that pretty much no, nothing else can. It crosses cultures, it crosses boundaries, and it's a healer. Like music heals. If you're having the hardest day of your life, what are you going to do? You're going to listen to a song. If you're having
Absolutely.
the best day of your life, what are you going to do? You're going to listen to a song. So I think I have the best job in the world, and it's hard work, but I love it. It's pure joy for me. So
Now, when you do these shows like you're doing tonight, you do them alone, acoustic, that's it, or you got a full band?
Tonight, no, tonight is fun. Tonight is old school writers rounds. Are you familiar with what
Really?
writers
Yes.
rounds
Oh,
are? Yeah.
absolutely. I've actually I sat in on a couple of those. Not that I can play, but when in Nashville with with the company and stuff like that, it's they're fun. They're fun. And to hear
They
how
are.
certain songs get created and everybody's throwing all their ideas into a ring, so to speak. And it's
Yeah, so
cool.
for listeners who don't know what a writer's round is, because I didn't when I first came to Nashville, a writer's round, it originated from, writers aren't always singers. Sometimes they're shy, sometimes they're not good singers at all. And so writer's rounds got started because it's one, two, three, usually maybe sometimes four writers up on stage together. And then they just kind of go down the line. They sing a song, the next person sings a song, the next person song, and then you go back around. And it makes it a lot less intimidating for writers, and it's a lot more intimate. People share the stories of the song. People get, and it's all original music. Whereas a lot of the other shows I play, like I'll play original music, but also some covers as well. This is all original stuff that no one's ever heard usually.
Love it.
So
I love it.
it's a pretty unique experience for sure.
We also call that, like in the radio biz, we call it a guitar pull. And we'll line, three, four, five artists up on stage with their guitar, and they one after another, and they'll sing their song or play something that they want you to hear, which is cool.
Yeah, it's I think that's honestly one of my favorite ways to play music, because I love telling the stories behind songs. I love full band shows. I love to put on a great show, but honestly, that acoustic, like real, raw, authentic performance, there's nothing like it. So it's pretty fun.
I love that. How long have you been making music?
Oh my gosh. So I grew up in a musical family. My mom is a classical composer. My brother's actually a country singer down in Texas.
Very
And
cool.
I grew up, yeah, and I grew up playing in church. We would sing after church on Sundays at home. So honestly, I've been playing music since I could talk. I'm one of those. And I started writing songs when I was about like probably 10, 11, and I was super shy about it. And I remember I had to sing my first song I ever wrote. I had to sing it to the wall because I was too afraid to look at my mom. She was in the room. She was listening to it, but I was too afraid to like look at her because I was so nervous. But I've written about 200 songs now. I have a big catalog of songs, and I just write and write and write all the time.
The first song that you ever wrote, how long ago was that?
Oh gosh. I mean, like I said, I think I must have been I want to say I was like 11, 12, and I think I still remember some of
What was the title of it? What was the
the
title of it? The
Oh,
first song you ever wrote.
I think it was really depressing because I was heavily bullied as a kid. I was actually really heavily bullied as a kid, and so I
Oh
didn't
my
fit in,
gosh.
and I found music as a way to like really feel like I was connected, and I think that's why I'm so passionate about it now too. But I think I'd have to remember it, but I think it was called like The Shadow or something, and
Oh, cool.
it was about feeling like I was stepping in someone else's shadow versus being myself, and I wanted to be myself, and it was a cute little song.
So
So
being bullied as a child, and which just breaks my heart to hear, and it still happens to, even up to
oh.
today, big time. We hear about things every day, but do you think being bullied gave you that direction to write the music and even write these great songs and kind of work your way through all that growing up?
I mean, I absolutely think that. I also think that because I'm kind of a natural artist and I'm naturally like looking at the trees, I'm naturally looking at, the words and the colors of things. I think, when you're young and when you're in school, depending on where you're at, like kids don't want kids that are different. And I was always a little bit different. And I was always a little bit artistic. And so I think they played hand in hand. But I will tell you this. It is the most rewarding thing in the world for me now to sing songs that I've written and have someone come up to me after a show and say, "Hey, I feel less alone because I heard that song."
I was going to
And
ask
I'm,
you.
that's why I chose the song that I've been touring with, Could Really Use a Friend, because it's a song I wrote at one of the darkest times in my life. And I really wanted to, I could have picked a lot of songs. I have fast songs, slow songs, but I picked this one because there is an epidemic of isolation. The Surgeon General just came out with a statement last week that said, there is an epidemic in our country of loneliness and isolation. And I wanted to have a song that spoke to that and really helped people when they hear it. So
more than ever, more than ever.
Yeah.
It's just the way the world is and everything that's going on. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of that loneliness too. You feel isolated. I mean, I think we all go through it. Even on, I don't think I've been bullied or I don't have those bad days, but I think I still go through it to a certain extent. You know?
We are all human. We are all human, and we were made for connection and communication. And, we kind of were sold this lie for I feel like several years, where it's like the epitome of life is to reach this pinnacle where you don't need anyone and you're fine on your own and you're an island. But no man is an island. We're not supposed to just be these completely like isolated beings that are fine without anything. And I think that because of that lie that we grew up with, I think a lot of us are, and because of the way the world is, a lot of us are suffering from a lot of loneliness. So the song is a lot about friendship and how friendship can break through that loneliness, which is so powerful in my own life. I opened up to people. And as soon as I started opening up and talking about what was really going on, my whole life changed for the better. So.
Wow. Very cool. Very cool. It's
powerful,
good. That's
it's a power. Message.
Yes, absolutely. And that seems to be the theme of a lot of your music. So that some of what I listened to before we went out with it, before I turned on the lights and the microphones and all that, some of that I was listening to was, music along those lines. And there's a lot of healing, makes you think. And plus with your voice being as soulful as it is, and I just call it big. That's phenomenal. Did you, so you say you came from a musical family, and I understand that, but did you have voice lessons? Did you end up doing all that or no?
Yeah, my mom is actually a vocal coach. And
oh,
so
very cool.
I took some lessons from her. Also, too, like growing up for me looked like coming home from school and doing my homework upstairs in my room while I heard her students downstairs. So I heard the lessons going on every day, like all of the vocal warm-ups. And to be honest with you, I had a really not great voice. I always had really great pitch, but my voice was very quiet. I was sick a lot. I was always losing my voice. I was in South Texas. And so I was just always losing my voice. And it wasn't until I moved to Nashville and I started playing writer's rounds that people were like, wow, you have one of the best voices that we've heard in a long time. And I was like, really? I mean, I love to sing and I always wanted to be a singer, but I didn't know that my voice could be that strong. So now my motto is love big, sing loud. And it's on my it's on my coffee mugs.
Yeah,
it's on
I love
my
it.
Hats, it's on everything. So that's
and
my motto.
I love that. And speaking of, you mentioned your coffee mugs and your hats and all that. They must be available if somebody wanted to support you by going to your website, right?
Well, yes and no. I ordered I ordered them early for the radio tour, so I have an exclusive batch of them. So if you guys find me on social media, on Instagram,
I've
had fans reach out, and then I send them their way that way, but they will eventually be on the store. This is my first batch of them. It's like my first round. So I have coffee mugs and pins and koozies, and they're fun.
See here. I hear you. Whoop, wait a minute. I'm not used to having So, I have my own that I send out to everybody that I interview. Same idea. How long, Rebecca, how long have you been in Nashville altogether?
Gosh, on and off for several years. Here's the thing. I'm not going to lie. I got a little heartbroken. I was here for a few years, and then not by the actual music itself, but by the music industry. I feel like it happens a lot. I kind of ran out of gas and ran out of steam, and I went up to New York and I started playing shows up there, and then I kind of always came back to Nashville, always came back to country, always came back. And this is my home, this is my center point, this is my focus. And I might go on tour and I might go up to New York, but this feels like home for me. So
but you say Nashville feels like home, but your real home is in Texas. What town? San Antonio?
I don't know where I belong. Yeah, San Antonio, Texas. I was born and raised there for 18 years.
Oh my God.
So at all of the years of all of my life, and honestly, most of my childhood friends still live in San Antonio. So when I go home for Christmas, we have bonfires and I still see all of them and we play music around the fire and it's so fun. And I get to see my friends' kids grow up and all of that. But yeah, I wanted to, you know, I love Texas and I love Texas music, but I wanted to kind of veer out. I'm very adventurous at heart. And so I found myself in Nashville, which could be a song. I found myself in Nashville.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
So
Write it down. You never know. You never know.
yeah. So I do go back home to Texas, not as often as I would like, because I have dear family and friends there. But Nashville at this point, since I've been here on and off for several years, feels like my home base.
There you go.
So,
Love San
yeah.
Antonio, by the way. The River Walk is my
Riverwalk.
wife and I did that not too long ago, and we got the dickens scared out of us by the bushman that hangs out down there. There's a guy that dresses up like a bush, and then as you walk by, he jumps out. It's crazy.
I've heard about this. Actually, so I really want to write a coffee table book someday about all of the awkward shows I've played. Like people always ask me, they're like, what are the coolest shows you played? And like, yeah, I've played awesome festivals and I've played for, you know, thousands of people and opened for cool people, whatever, la la. But the funny ones that are the ones I like telling about the most. And I want to write a book someday about all the awkward shows I played,
You
but one of them
should.
was one of them was on the Riverwalk. I was playing. They do this. If you guys don't know about the Riverwalk, the whole city of San Antonio downtown has this huge Riverwalk that barges go down. It's really beautiful at night, especially at Christmas. And so I was playing the Christmas parade, and I had my piano because I play piano and guitar. But I had my piano and a little bass player and a little drummer, and we all sat on this barge, and honestly, there was no railing, so we could have easily fallen into the water. But we went around and around and around, and our fingers were freezing. It was cold, and it was really fun, but it was one of the most awkward shows I've ever played.
Yeah,
So, but
was it crowded? Is it
oh
you?
my gosh,
Well, it's got to
yes.
be beautiful. I mean, we were there, and it was still like late summer last year, and it was real hot. It was
Pretty.
real crowded. It was still beautiful though. And they
Oh,
also had a little
thanks. Yeah.
area. They had a little area where
Oh, yeah.
they had a performer
I've played
play.
there. I
Yeah.
played there multiple times.
Very cool.
I like playing in the winter in Texas because then it's not so quite so miserable. I play like distilleries and like places downtown and all of that, but like it's much better when it's a little bit chillier. So I think this particular Christmas it was really cold and it was like 50 degrees. So, but normally it's blistering hot. No, but for the holiday parade, you know, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people, and they're all along like
I
the
love that.
river.
God,
So it
that's
was
got to be
fun.
beautiful. That's got to be
Yeah.
beautiful. Have you had a chance to play? Was it Floor's Country Store, is it called? Floor's,
Oh, you know
Floor's.
what? I
It's an
think I
outdoor
did.
venue because we
Oh,
went
yeah,
there
I'm
for a
very.
show as well, and it was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know my brother has played there. My brother plays like the country circuit all over Texas. I think I played at Floors. You know, growing up, I was a huge Pat Green fan. So, do you know who
Ah,
Pat Green
yes.
is?
Yeah, wave on
Yeah.
wave, baby.
Oh my gosh. I'll tell you this. Not many people know unless they see me live. I always play barefoot.
Oh, wow.
I don't play with shoes on.
No,
So.
that's crazy, though.
Yeah, that's Pat Green on. Like, I think, you know, I heard one time that he played barefoot, and then I gave it a try, and I was like, this is way better. So I
Yeah,
went back
Jake
to playing
Owen
barefoot.
does that as well.
Yeah, you feel more grounded. I don't know how, I literally don't know how women play in heels. Like, no, thank you. So
I can understand.
usually,
I can understand. Yeah.
yeah. But yeah, so I played some really cool shows. I've had, you know, great opportunities, but I'm really most excited about like, what's next, what's on the horizon, and all the different things I'm working on. I'm working on a new recording right now in the studio. My producer is, I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy named Garth Brooks.
Never, never, never.
Never,
Is he a new
never.
guy?
Not a
Is
lot of
it
people.
independent?
You know what's sad?
It's really familiar.
You know what's sad is I met someone who didn't know who Garth was. I think they were like 21 years old and they
Oh,
weren't into.
stop.
I
Somebody
know. And
actually
I was
didn't know
like,
who Garth was.
how is this possible? No, but all that to say, my producer is Garth Brooks and Trisha Yearwood's guitar player, Johnny Garcia,
Nice.
who's also from
I
Texas. I
know.
met
Yes,
him.
Johnny Garcia. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh.
So he's my dear friend and my producer. And he produced this song, Could Really Use a Friend. Him and I met each other at a show called Texans in Tennessee several years back. And then he's been my producer ever since. So we're working on a bunch of stuff in the studio right now. We have a new song I can give you a sneak peek of later. And yeah, we're having a lot of fun kind of wrapping up the
Cool.
next project.
Wow.
So,
What a guy to have on your team. You know what I mean?
oh,
Just,
he's awesome. And you know,
either
him and
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say him and his wife, they're so sweet because sometimes I can't get home for both Thanksgiving and Christmas. So like, you know, his wife, Lori, is like the sweetest and she'll be like, well, come on over, you know, be a Garcia tonight. And so I'll come over and have like Thanksgiving dinner with their family. And they're just really sweet, sweet family. His kids are awesome. And I feel like he's that kind of producer that really wants to bring out my authentic sound and not try to make me sound like somebody I'm not.
Right, right. So. And that's the whole key to, at least I think so, to being successful. I got my ear things on. They sound really weird to me.
I know. I do too. Same.
Yeah, it's like throwing me all off. And I talk for a living. You never know it. But that is, being unique is what makes you who you are. You need to be different to a certain extent. So.
Yeah, but you know, that's kind of what knocked me to my feet a bit when I first came to Nashville, is that I was very different. I was very soulful. You know, this was before, you know, Chris Stapleton really wasn't that big yet. You know, some people knew of him and people weren't really doing soulful country. I mean, kind of here and there, like you had a Carrie Underwood song that kind of gave some soul to it, but that kind of swampy Memphis-y soul meets Texas. Like not a lot of females are really even now doing that. Some are. So I felt like a fish out of water. And a lot of times I would have meetings and, you know, they'd be like, well, we need you to sound more like this. And we need you to sound more like this. And they are just trying to be helpful. Like no one's trying to be spiteful, but I think the best advice I could give any artist out there really is to just actually be yourself, no matter what people say.
100%.
Yeah.
No doubt. Yeah.
So I see the guitar behind you. What's the,
Well, I don't play. I have guitars that I just, over the years, I've picked them up and I've had them autographed, you know, different places I've been and different shows I've worked. It's like, but I'm not I used to play trumpet, but that's going way back. But the guitars, I have one. I'm in a podcast studio here at home and I have a full studio and I absolutely love this, but it's part of my wall decor. But I do it. I don't know. There's Frankie Ballard, Lanco.
Okay.
Oh, Drake White is on there. Great guy, by the way. Love Drake White. Let's see here. It's, Thomas Rhett.
Wow.
Randy Owen. Old Dominion.
Expensive guitar. Well, that one.
Maybe the guitar was cheap when I bought it, but with all the signatures on it, it's pretty cool.
It's priceless. Now, and I like what's that behind you? Dad jokes?
Yeah, I love it when you ask questions, by the way. I love it when it's a two-way conversation. You've done this before. I love this. Every day on the air, I'm on the Wolf in Syracuse in the afternoon from 2 till 7, and I do my dad joke every day. So, and then people start sending me stuff, like somebody sent me dad jokes told here. I've got a couple of mugs. And people send me all sorts of stuff.
So, I love it. Wait, so do I get, since I wasn't listening this morning to the Wolf, so like do I get to hear a dad joke?
I don't know. I'm not in the, and you tell me a dad joke. Do you have a good dad joke?
Oh gosh, no, don't ask me. Here's the thing about me.
Okay.
I will tell you one of my biggest fears, which is funny. Like I'm naturally like silly and fun or whatever, but like I think one of my biggest fears in my whole life would be if I was made to be a comedian in front of like thousands of people. Like I will sing in front of 10,000 people and I will be silly and whatever. But if you made me be funny on command,
that's it.
I can't think of anything that's it. Not to.
During the day, when I'm in the studio and I'm in my own world, I think about these things. Yeah, I get a little help from either, you know, AI nowadays. I use the chat GPT. I don't know if you've used that at all.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool. Or, you know, I get, she's gone. But I do the dad joke. And there you are, you're back. You scared me. I thought you got up and left. You know, I use AI to help me out with the dad jokes and stuff like that. And that's it, like this. If you go tell me a dad joke, I'd go,
Yeah, you know, AI conversation is an interesting one because it's like, you know, there's a writer's strike going on in Hollywood right now, like big songwriters here in Nashville are kind of question marking, like, what's the future for songwriters? It's a scary conversation. It's an interesting one. So it's helpful to use, but at the same time, you're like, I don't know.
No, it's helpful. Let it help you. I get that. Let it help you, but don't let it do everything, because you still need to use your creative mind. And you, as a songwriter and as an artist, you got to be creative. And you are. You're very creative. Just don't lose that. But it's nice to have a little fallback, and that's what AI is.
The little help for the dad jokes.
Except, yeah. Like, I think today I typed in, tell me a good dad joke. And it was like, this sucks. I forgot what it was, but it was kind of funny, but still I wasn't going to use it. So,
you know, I saw this other clip, and then we can get off of AI, but I saw this other clip the other day that was saying that an AI was able to go on to TaskRabbit, hire a human to help the human solve a CAPTCHA that it couldn't solve, because, you know, computers can't pick out how many bridges are. Hired the human, lied to the human, and said that they had a visual impairment, that they were not a computer, but they just had a visual impairment, they just needed help. The human did it for them, and they were able to unlock the puzzle.
My God. See, I mean, yeah. See, now it gets a little scary.
Yeah, I'm just going to sing my songs and move to the woods if I need to, so I'm not too worried. That'll work it out.
You could always get a thought and just type in the thought and see what it gives you back. And then you could kind of use your own creative mind to put a little spin on that. So it will kind of help you out. Maybe you're having a day where, you know, I can't think straight today. I need a little help. Then use it. Don't let it take over.
You know, everything in life is balance. So
exactly. So if somebody was to ask, you know, say, hey, tell me about Rebecca Moreland, what would they say? What would you tell them if somebody wanted to know about you?
Well, I mean, obviously, I'm very passionate about music, clearly. I think, you know, I'm very passionate about my relationships, my friends, and like the people in my life. I really, when I'm not doing music, too, I'm very outdoors oriented. I've got a garden in my backyard, my front yard. And I love it. And I love being, you know, barefoot outside. I love anything that's just has to do with outdoors. I just really try to live, you know, in a curious way. I think if you could say one thing about me is I'm a big Brené Brown fan. I don't know if you know who that is. I'm really big on just curiosity and like asking questions. You notice, like, I love to meet people. I love to be like, have those authentic, real conversations. And I think that's what the world needs the most, is that authenticity. So that's really what I stand for. And every song that I have written is either autobiographical for me, for somebody that was in the writer's room, or someone I know. I don't just make songs up. So like everything you guys ever hear from me, I've gone through, or someone close to me has gone through.
Love it. So. Love it. It makes it real. Comes from the heart. Tell me about your garden. What are you growing?
So I lucked out, because let's be honest, I'm not actually growing anything. The owner, I just got this house in Inglewood, and the owner previously, he planted. I am bearing the fruit of his efforts. Strawberries, blackberries, blueberries, some mints. And I got two tomato plants that I'm going to plant tomorrow, I think. And then I got some basil. So.
Oh, wow. Look at you, girl. You're like, wow. And what kind of, are they like cherry tomatoes, or are they the pear tomatoes, or the full tomatoes?
Yeah, they're like the little, it's like, this is backwards. So I keep like not knowing where to put my head. There we go.
No, you're good.
They're little cherry tomatoes. I went to the Nashville's farmers market. I'm very big on like supporting local businesses and small businesses.
Absolutely.
My dad was a small business owner, and so was my mom. And so like, I'm just really big on that. So yeah, I got these cute little cherry tomatoes in, at the East Nashville farmers market a couple days ago. And then I also got, some Thai basil. I think it's Thai basil. So
yeah, I've heard of that.
I love
that. Wow. Very cool.
Yeah. So
what's your favorite meal that you like to cook?
Oh my gosh. Well, I love roasted vegetables. I would rather have roasted vegetables with like garlic and spice than French fries, like any day of the week. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the first thing I did when I got home, was I got a bunch of, because I've been on the road for like a month. So I got a bunch of awesome groceries, and I made roasted vegetables, and I love salmon. I made some sausage. Anything that has like really healthy, nutrient rich. My other passion is like natural health. I'm very, very into natural health. Minus the whiskey, which I don't know if you'd call that natural.
Now, now.
But I mean, it's natural. It's natural enough.
It is. All right. Okay.
So yeah, that's kind of my thing is if I'm home and I'm not on the road, I love to cook some good food in the kitchen. So
love it. So yeah. You've got a show coming up here in probably less than a half hour. So yeah. I don't know, right? Yeah. So I'm not going to keep you much longer. If I was to attend to that show, you say it's individual artist on stools, or it's like a guitar pole, as I would call it. I mean, what will we be hearing out of you?
You know, I actually don't know yet. I'm going to kind of just see what the room feels like. I really like to fly by the seat of my pants a lot. You know, I'll probably play my single, Could Really Use a Friend, which mm-hmm. listeners out there, if you guys want to hear my single, it's on Spotify, it's on YouTube, it's on iTunes. I think if people still use iTunes, it's called Could Really Use a Friend. So I'll probably play that tonight. And then, I don't know, cool. I'm going to let the wind blow as it is and just see.
So do you play off the person next to you? Like, oh my God, he's playing this. You know what? I'm going to do this.
Yeah, actually, one of the last rounds I played for this really cool canine. It was like a canine rescue mm-hmm. fundraiser. It was, I think, early this year. And a guy sitting next to me played a song from Texas. So then I sang a song from Texas that I had written. And yeah, it's kind of fun. That's the thing about writer's rounds. You kind of vibe off of each other. So it's fun.
So let me ask you before I let you go is you're in Nashville now, obviously, but from Texas, and Texas has its own music chart and all that. They've got, I noticed the hat. I love it. But do you feel that you're better off to be where you are than in Texas when it comes to music?
I think I am where I am because of Texas. Like my co-writer for this song is from Texas. My producer is from Texas. And I think if there's one thing I hate, it's to be boxed in. And so I think, you know, Texas is an amazing market. And I would love to play. I used to play there all the time. I'd love to play there more too. So I don't really know how to answer that question because I feel like I'm better off right where God has me, which is right here, right now.
Yeah. You see, the way I look at it is you are where you need to be and you're there for a reason. And there's so many different outlets when it comes to Nashville. Texas is Texas. I get that. Texas country, Texas music chart. But in Nashville, it's everywhere. It's everywhere. Your music goes everywhere.
I think one of the harder parts about being in Nashville, though, like real talk, is that it is so full of musicians. It can be difficult to build a fan base. That's why, you know, I go to other places like, you know, Pennsylvania, Virginia, New York, New York State, other places to like, that's where my fans are. And Nashville is a great base to meet people, to collaborate together, to like collective, you know. But that's one of the challenges about being in Nashville. So, cool.
Rebecca, you're awesome. Rebecca Moreland took a few minutes out of her busy evening to spend it here on Skip Happens. And you've got a show coming up probably in about 20 minutes now. But, you know, is it over there?
So it's over there through those doors. This is the hotel lobby, and then the venue is right through there. So
it's similar to the Omni.
Yeah, it actually does look a lot like the Omni in here. I haven't been in here before. I mean, this is fairly new the last couple of years. So
is it down on Broadway? Whereabouts is it?
It's literally right across from the Ryman.
Oh, okay. Oh, you did say that. Yes. Yes, exactly.
By Tootsies. Yeah, it should be fun. Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
No, it's been a pleasure. Yeah. I'd love to have you back. Have a great show tonight. If somebody wants to get a hold of your music, listen to the single. You said it's on all the DSPs, all the digital service providers. Your website. I would assume you have a website, correct?
Yes, RebeccaMoreland.com. And honestly, the best thing to do is if you guys are on Instagram or Facebook to connect with me there. I love hearing from listeners. So if you guys are listening, I definitely answer my DMs. Like I've been hearing from so many listeners across the country. It's awesome. And especially because my song is about friendship and it's about like breaking isolation. People have been sharing their stories about their friends. I heard from these one ladies that they were best friends for 45 years. So cool. So people have been sharing their stories. So feel free to write in and say hey to me. I love hearing from listeners.
Oh, God, I love that. You know, everybody needs to do that. And I always say it's one fan at a time, too. You know, you talk to somebody, they're going to love you. And then, then they're going to tell somebody. Then they're going to tell somebody. It just keeps going. So,
awesome. Exactly. Well, all thank right. you Go for having me.
Absolutely. Go have a great show. And remember, skip happens. I'm just saying.
Skip does happen.
But it's always good. We make it good.
We make it great. All right. Well, it's so good to have you on or have me on. Now I can't talk.
Well, I know. You must have these ear things are messing me up tonight. But it's been a pleasure.
All right. Yeah, I know. Bye.
All right. Take care. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye. And she's gone. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Don't forget to give us a subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or go to youtube.com/@skiphappens. It'll take you right to the page that you need to know. And a big thank you to the official Country Music Fan Club as well. Deb could not be with us here tonight, but I know she's been watching, and you can check them out on Facebook and see what they're all about as well. All right. Thank you. Have a good night, everybody. Peace.